Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
So it has been a crazy morning session for the NCAA tournament. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. But we got to tell you guys about the breaking news in the NFL. Justin Houston is officially off the market. He has signed a two-year, $24 million deal with the Indianapolis Colts. Makes a lot of sense for the Indianapolis Colts. They got all the cap space in the world. And Chris Ballard, who was in Kansas City, he's the general manager for the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But first, scores!
Scores updates for you guys right now going around the NCAA tournament. Florida State pulling away in this one. 59-51 over Vermont, about 4:25 to go in that game. Going into halftime, about 13 seconds left in the first half. Michigan State currently trailing Bradley 35-34. And Belmont really laying it on Maryland right now. Belmont up 35-25 with 5 minutes to go in the first half in that one.
Maryland's like the fourth youngest team in Division I basketball, so I'm not surprised that in the NCAA tournament it's not going well. Remember, I was telling you, I said I liked Belmont in that first four. I said that. Nobody listens to me. Nobody takes my sports prediction seriously, but I told you that. But let's get to the breaking news right now as we're still kind of monitoring games. The moment that the Vermont and Florida State game gets close, we'll start to go ahead and do a live look at. I'll continue to give you guys my play-by-play calls in, calling on all of that kind of stuff. So with Justin Houston, I think we all knew once it kind of narrowed itself down to where they were going to go. The Colts made a lot of sense. The Eagles made a lot of sense. The Colts are a logical destination. I think if you look at how the Colts have played free agency, they've played it incredibly smart. They were not a part of that first wave. They waited a week. And now they got the pass rusher that's the best available pass rusher on the market for what?
They paid a quarter of the price of what Trey Flowers got in free agency.
I mean, a quarter of what Dee Ford just got in free agency. Think Dee Ford got $87.5 million. Justin Houston got 2 for $24 million. That's a really good contract for Justin Houston. That's a really good value and bargain for Justin Houston. And I'm looking at this team right now, and I've been saying it. I really want them to prioritize pass rush, but I think what we've learned over the last 72 hours, this team feels like they need cornerback help way more than they feel like they need pass rush help. Think about the pass rushers that they've gone after as opposed to the corners. They brought in Darby for a visit, didn't work out. They brought in Denard for a visit. They're still interested in Denard. Ian Rappaport reported that earlier today, and then you ended up signing Bashaud Breeland.
And he signed earlier today as well. Denard did.
What pass rushers have the Chiefs been in on? We didn't hear anything about them being on Clay Matthews. We didn't hear anything. We haven't heard anything about Shane Ray. Nothing about Ziggy Ansah. Nothing about Trey Boston, who's still on the market. We haven't heard a name they have been linked to when it comes to pass rushers. We've heard it when it comes to corners that at least openly, I think the Chiefs are telling you, they think at least via free agency that they have the best available options when it comes to pass rush. When it comes to corners, they don't feel like that guy's on their roster.
I also wonder if maybe they just don't think the guy that's available on the market right now is worth it. Like, who's the guy that you want them to go get? That's, I think, a question that we would have to ask. I wonder, CDOT, I wonder if looking back, they thought they had Earl Thomas in the bag. That was pretty clear based on what Earl Thomas's comments were and based on what the reports were. They thought they had a one-year, $12 million deal with Earl Thomas. And then they thought later this offseason, maybe, we'll see, I guess maybe the Jay Glazer report throws this into question, but we assumed they also were going to later this year re-sign Chris Jones and re-sign Tyreek Hill. I wonder if, based on what we know now, the fact that Earl Thomas went elsewhere, the fact that, I mean, the Tyreek Hill deal is basically off the table at this point. I wonder if they would have gone about this offseason the same way. I wonder if they could go back and do it over again and they knew what they know now, would they have cut Justin Houston? Would they have cut Eric Berry? Would they have traded Dee Ford? I wonder if they would have done anything differently if they had this information that's available to them now, back when they made those moves.
I just haven't seen the urgency. Now, safety-wise, if you want to have a little bit of a conspiracy theory, what if they cut Eric Berry because they firmly believe they were about to sign Earl Thomas? That they couldn't have all three of them on the roster. There's no way they were going to have Earl Thomas, Eric Berry, and Tyrann Mathieu on the roster at the same time. So they cut Eric Berry, fully believing that they were about to sign Earl Thomas. 23rd hour, the deal gets done for the Baltimore Ravens. He swoops in, so now you're out of both players. What if that's the possibility? What I'm simply saying is when we come to names that have been linked to the Chiefs, I just haven't heard any when it comes to pass rusher. Alex Okafor, I like him as a defensive lineman. He hasn't shown you any consistent ability in his path that he can get to the quarterback. Maybe Spagnuolo's going to unlock something. He turns into O.C. Nurmagomedov, but I doubt it. He looks like a guy who is much more capable at stopping the run, a much more of a second-tier kind of defensive lineman. Good, but certainly not a pass rusher. I just haven't seen their name linked to any veteran pass rusher when I compare it to cornerback, because cornerback market, they've been in on pretty much any corner that's been open on the market. They haven't been linked to any single pass rusher or anybody who was capable of getting to the quarterback in free agency.
Maybe they're basically telling us their draft plan then. Because how often have we heard basically everybody that covers the Chiefs says they're not picking at 29. They're going to pick somewhere ahead of 29. They're going to trade up at some point. Maybe Brett Veach is telling us we like somebody a lot. We like multiple somebodies a lot that is in this draft that's going to give us pass rush. And that's kind of the route that we're looking right now. Maybe they're saying to themselves, there's three pass rushers that are going to be around that 15 to 20 mark in the draft, and we're going to trade up for one of those guys. And so that's why we're not looking into the guys that are on the open market in free agency, because we think we're going to address that need in the draft.
So if you missed it, the breaking news, Justin Houston has signed a deal with the Indianapolis Colts, a two-year, $24 million deal per Adam Schefter. The Chiefs actually do play the Colts this season, so you'll have a chance to see Justin Houston play against the Chiefs in Kansas City if he's healthy, which I think we all know what Justin Houston is, a big if Justin Houston's going to be healthy. Let's take this out and have a deeper conversation when it comes to the NFL. What teams do we feel like in the AFC are better than they were at the end of the season? Because the only teams I think are definitively better, I would say the Colts appear to be a little bit better. You get an edge rusher, you still got cap space to go out there and make a move. I think now
you're talking about just contenders?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about the Buffalo. Buffalo's a little bit better.
I think the Jets have gotten a lot better this offseason, but I still wouldn't consider them to be a contender.
Of the teams I think that are in the Chiefs realm or at least can have the conversation with the Chiefs, I would say the Colts are a little bit better, and I still think they're going to be active when it comes to free agency. I would say the Browns are clearly much better than they were at the end of the season. I don't really know if you can say anybody else. New England has pretty much stayed pat at this point in the NFL season. Pittsburgh hasn't really made moves to significantly get better. They spent money in free agency. I don't know if Pittsburgh is drastically better than they were.
They're not. They lost Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, and then the Patriots lost Trey Flowers. I think both teams have gotten worse.
Baltimore spent a lot of money in free agency, but they also lost something. So you add Earl Thomas, you lose C.J. Mosley. I don't know if Baltimore is substantially better between now. I think if we're making the list of teams that are on paper that you feel are contenders in the AFC, I think you look at the Colts as being a better team than they were when the season ended. I also think you look at Cleveland as being a team. I don't know if you can put the Chargers or Houston in that category right now.
I wonder if we were in Indianapolis or if we were in Cleveland, CDOT, how would you look at the Chiefs this offseason? Because these are the teams that we're going to be talking about. Like, next year when we're talking about the NFL, we're going into it, we're saying, who are the competitors for the Chiefs? It's the Colts, it's the Texans, it's the Browns, and it's the Patriots. Those are the teams that are really contending in the AFC, I think, at this point, based on what we've seen from them. So if we were covering one of those teams, how would we be looking at what the Chiefs have done this offseason?
I think you would look at it as the Chiefs of they're trying to retool their defense, and we'll see if it works. I mean, offensively, I don't know why you would think anything differently about the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, that's factoring in that they planned on having Tyreek Hill, but offensively, you still got Mahomes, you still got Kelce, you got another running back. Their offense is still going to be very dynamic this season if you have Tyreek Hill in the fold. But I think you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs defense as trying to move on the fly. Someone said, do you think the Chiefs are better?
I think that's the question we should be asking.
I think their defense is a little bit better. Ask me at the end of the draft when I see what their plan is, because I think the picture that the Chiefs are painting right now will become miles clear after they – because I don't think at the end of the draft they're going to have that future 2020 second round pick. I think they're planning on using that draft pick to move up in the NFL draft. So I think it's very hard to know with the Chiefs because they were aggressive at the beginning of free agency, got the guy they really wanted in Tyrann Mathieu. Then you got Alex Okafor. You got Bashaud Breeland, but you've also lost some guys. Pass rush, I just want to see what they do. Someone on the text line makes a good point on the Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line. Kansas City believes in Tano Passio and speaks. I don't. That's where I'm at. That's why I've been saying this whole time, go get veteran pass rush. But I do think the names that have been floated out, I'll take it one step further. Maybe it's a better way of putting it. This organization has shown me they believe more in Tano Passio and speaks than they believe in Charvarius Ward and Tremont Smith. Even after they got Bashaud Breeland, this organization is still interested in Denard. They've told me they really feel like they need veteran cornerback groups. They have told me that they think they already have the pass rush solution already on the roster.
I think they're also telling you that they believe that Steve Spagnuolo is the answer for the pass rush. I think one of the messages that I've gotten, and we'll see if this continues to be the message. Maybe they've got something more coming later on that'll change this discussion. But as of right now, I think what the Chiefs are telling us is we can use scheme to get the pass rush. We can't scheme to get the coverage. And so we need to get better players on the back end, and we believe that the coaching is going to be what fixes us up front.
So we are live inside Winning Streaks, inside Harris Casino. We'll continue talking about the NCAA tournament. We'll also be talking a little bit of Chiefs, and we'll update you with the scores.
Big update here for you guys right now is one game has gone to the half. That is Michigan State going up against Bradley, the 2:15 matchup. And at the half, could be another upset here for us, CDOT. Bradley is up 35-34 at the half over Michigan State.
Told you I didn't trust Michigan State. I tried to tell you that all day yesterday. Everybody scoffed at me. Told you I didn't believe in it.
The game that is getting close to coming to an end is another game that I think we can say
I already
Florida
got lost.
State doesn't have to watch out for this one. Florida State up 68-58 over Vermont. That one was a close scare earlier today. It looks like that will not end up being the case. 68-58, Florida State up with a minute and a half to go in that one. And approaching the half, Belmont still leads Maryland. Belmont up 40-34, about a minute 25 to go in the first half in that one. So we will continue to update you throughout the day with that score as well.
I already got Michigan State lost in my head. I'm already telling you. Told you I never leave. I told you. I already got them lost. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get back into the Tyreek Hill situation and continue to keep you updated in the NCAA tournament. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
So back in on The Drive, we'll give you an update on Justin Houston, who just signed a deal with the Indianapolis Colts. 2 years, $24 million. Waiting to see how much money is guaranteed, but I think we got a little bit more information on the Colts' logic from Adam Schefter. We'll get to that momentarily, but first, scores!
Scores on the 10 updates for you guys. Florida State is pulling away with this thing. 72-61 over Vermont. 55 seconds to go in that one.
It was fun while it lasted.
It was great.
While we thought it was going to be a barn burner, it was fun while it lasted. We got the Auburn game out. That's all that matters.
That's all right. That's a good start to the day. So, again, 72-64 now. A little bit of an update. 28 seconds to go in that one. Florida State over Vermont. It looks like the 4-seed FSU is going to advance. Michigan State, Bradley, both at the half at this point, 35-34. Bradley over Michigan State thus far, and also now just getting to the half. Belmont leads Maryland 40-34. So we'll give you updates with those whenever they tip in the second half. Coming up here in just about 10 minutes, we have Murray State versus Marquette, kind of the marquee matchup of the day.
So we'll talk a little bit about Tyreek Hill coming up in just a little bit, but Adam Schefter is reporting the Colts have agreed to a contract with Justin Houston, 2 years, $24 million. He then goes on and says the Colts called the Chiefs about D Ford, ultimately decided to keep draft pick compensation and instead opted to sign Chiefs linebacker Justin Houston. That's what I would do if I was the Colts. Like, I'm surprised that wasn't the option for San Francisco. Think about the two options. You can either give up a future second-round draft pick and give D Ford 5 years, $87 million, and 21 guaranteed. Or you could sign Justin Houston to a 2-year, $24 million. How much of that do we think is guaranteed?
13? 10 to 12?
$13 million? 15,
15 absolute, maybe.
15 is the absolute most money that he's guaranteed. I'd much rather have Justin Houston if those are my two options than you keep that draft pick compensation and then you keep that up. Now, I'm not saying that the D4 contract is a bad one. It's a 5-year deal. It's essentially a 1-year contract for $21 million, and then you get 4 team options after that. Or would you rather have Justin Houston for basically a 1-year contract, and then we'll see in the second year based on your health? I understand why the Colts called the Chiefs, heard what the asking price was for D-Ford, said, nah, we good. We're not interested in doing that. We'll wait free agency out, and then we'll see what Clay Matthews – because remember I said yesterday, I said that once Clay Matthews signed and then kind of set the market a little bit, Justin Houston was going to sign a contract a little bit more than his and very similar because of where they are in ages in their career. That ended up what happened in one day later. So Justin Houston signs for 2 years, $24 million. Colts called about D-Ford, decided not to, and ultimately decided to go in the direction of Justin Houston.
Chris Ballard's really good at this, man. Chris Ballard is really good at this. Chris Ballard sat out the first portion of free agency when people were giving out funny money. I mean, Trey Flowers got $90 million from the Detroit Lions. Go look at their football cards. Go look at the back of the football card for Trey Flowers and Justin Houston. There's no question who you'd rather have. Now, I understand Trey Flowers is obviously much younger, but if you're getting similar production over the next couple of years between Trey Flowers and Justin Houston, which is what I would expect, the Colts got by far the better deal by sitting out, waiting, and then getting their guy later on.
Speaking of contracts, Eric Berry is oddly a hot commodity out here. Now, listen, now, you guys, I don't want you to laugh. I know you're in your office right now. You're keeping up with scores. We'll get to them in a little bit. Listen to what Eric Berry is asking for. This is from Charles Robinson of Yahoo. Although his free agency has just begun, Berry is believed to be looking for a team that offers him the best hybrid opportunity of winning while getting paid near the top end of the safety table. While the Cowboys might balk at the comparisons between Eric Berry and Earl Thomas at the negotiating table, they can expect a general parallel to be drawn. It doesn't mean necessarily that Berry is expecting to land Thomas money, but he isn't going to come cheaply either by any means, and that might be precisely why he's expected to shop around before signing his next deal. NFL teams. Now, I know I'm just a radio host. I know I don't have NFL general manager experience, but I do have experience with the dealing with the Eric Berry injury situation and following it. If you're silly enough to commit significant dollars to Eric Berry and long-term years attached to Eric Berry, you're an idiot. I mean that in the nicest way possible. I got no shade towards Eric Berry. I hope he goes on and has a healthy career and a productive life. I got nothing but positive things to say about Eric Berry. But trying to draw comparisons between Earl Thomas, are you serious? You played 4 games the last 2 seasons. 4. You need to be thinking prove it kind of deal to show me that you're healthy. If you're not interested in signing a prove it kind of deal, I'm not interested in having you on my team, and that's something I can live with. That's how I would feel if I'm a general manager. Him saying comparisons between Berry and Thomas. Thomas just got 30 guaranteed. I'm not giving Eric Berry another $30 million guaranteed on a guy that's played 4 games over the last 2 seasons. Again, all the respect in the world for Eric Berry. I feel like we got to say that before every conversation. I have no interest in Eric Berry if it's not a 1-year prove-it kind of deal. If he's not interested in signing the Bashaud Breeland 1-year, $2 million base salary, $5 million with incentives, heavy incentives based on how healthy you are, I think that is an awful contract. And no smartly run team, in my opinion, is signing Eric Berry to a long-term deal. If you do that, you're not a wise organization. I ask myself a lot of times, what would the Patriots do? Do we think the Patriots would sign Eric Berry to a 3-year deal and pay him like he's Earl Thomas? This is silly. I mean, I'm not saying that Eric Berry's getting bad advice here because there's normally one sucker out there. But if a team is willing to give Eric Berry anything other than a 1-year prove-it kind of deal, you're not a well-run and smart organization.
Anytime I read something like this, which is well-reported, I have no reason to believe this is not true from Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports. He's a good reporter. He does a podcast with Therese Paylor. Good dude from all accounts. We can see where this is coming from, right?
His agent.
This isn't coming from teams. This isn't. This doesn't say teams are making the comparison of Eric Berry and Earl Thomas. This says Eric Berry is looking for offers that give him the best hybrid opportunity of winning while nearly getting paid at the top end of the safety table. We know where this is coming from. This is coming from Eric Berry's side of things. Whether it's him, his agent, somebody around him or his agent, that's where this is coming from. So Eric Berry can want to get paid and not have to take a prove-it deal all he wants. That's what's going to be on the table for him. nobody's going to give him long-term guaranteed money, nor should they, because like you said, he's played in four games over the last 2 years. There's no way.
I just don't know from Eric Berry's standpoint, like we always talk about, like how leverage makes deals. What's the leverage that you have right now if you're Eric Berry? Again, I get why if you're EB, you're thinking, well, I'm healthy now. I'm out of that situation. I want to be paid like Earl Thomas. Man, you got to prove it to me. And if I'm an NFL team, I always say, I'm willing to let other teams sign deals and look back with a little bit of regret. If the regret is not believing that Eric Berry is going to be healthy and then week 11 we look and think we should have made that deal, that's something to me that you can live with. But I wouldn't be interested in signing Eric Berry to anything other than a prove-it kind of deal. And ultimately, that's the contract that I think he ends up signing. Coming up in a little bit, we'll switch gears and talk a little bit of Royals baseball. But first, scores!
Score updates for you guys. Scores on the 10s just went final. Florida State has officially defeated Vermont. Florida State will move on to the second round in that one. The 2:15 matchup's getting compelling. Bradley going into the second half right now, 2 minutes into the second half, leads Michigan State 39-37. Still at the half, Belmont is leading Maryland 40-34. Coming up here in just about 5 minutes, we will have the tip-off between Murray State and Marquette as well. That is the marquee matchup, in my opinion, of the day.
The Kansas game just tipped off. Keep it locked in here. We're talking a little Chiefs. We're talking a little Royals. We're talking a little general tournament talk. Keeping you company until 6 o'clock. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll switch gears and talk a little bit about Royals. 2019 should be about Alex Gordon. I'll tell you what I mean coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, we are live inside Winning Streaks, inside Harris Casino. We're sitting here, we're hanging out here. We got a packed house. People are watching the games. People are drinking some brews. People are eating some great food. Watching a little college basketball. We'll get to the Royals coming up here momentarily. But first, scores!
Scores on the 10s here on 610 Sports Radio. Michigan State is now leading Bradley. They have retaken the lead there, so the 2 seed is now taking control once again. 44-39 over Bradley. There's about 16 minutes left to play in that one, so still plenty of action still to come. Belmont still leads Maryland 40-34. This one is at the half, and coming up here in just about, they have reassigned the tip. So about 20 minutes from now, Marquette versus Murray State. Marquette the 5 seed, Murray State the 12. So those are the games that we have taking place right now.
So last night during the Royal spring training game, they did an interview with Alex Gordon. You know how they like to take us behind the scenes a little bit? It's laid back. They're in Peoria or a surprise or who knows where they're in Arizona. So this is what Alex Gordon had to say when he brought up the fact of this is his last year under contract with the Kansas City Royals.
You know, this year's been a little bit different just because older now. And, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do after this year. So as far as, you know, keep playing or not. So I just want to have a fun year and, you know, win some ball games, and hopefully should be something fun to play for.
So, you know what I would like to see happen? I want Alex Gordon on opening day or the game after opening day to say, this is my last season. I want Alex Gordon to have the Kobe send-off. I want him to have the Dirk Nowitzki sound-off. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be going from city to city and people are going to be gifting Alex Gordon things, but here in Kansas City, how we would view Alex Gordon in his last season with him getting the proper send-off would be a really fun year. You could have the marketing department build it up, and they would have a bobblehead, and it would be a really good year. Because let's say that Alex Gordon, let's say that he doesn't tell us he's going to retire at the end of the year. Are you guys really excited about watching Alex Gordon hit 240 this year, and then in September only play once, twice a week and be a platoon defensive guy for the Kansas City Royals? No, I want to give Alex Gordon his flowers while he can still smell them. Alex Gordon has made a lot of money playing baseball. He's had a great career. He's not going to be a baseball Hall of Famer, but he's certainly going to be a Royals Hall of Famer. I want him to go out with the send-off and the proper respect of someone, a player of his caliber in Royals history. If we're making a list of the most important players in the history of this organization, he's what, top 10, top 15? I want him to get a top 10, top 15 send-off. I don't want Alex Gordon to say the last 2 weeks of the season, well, you know what, this season's been trying for me, this is it. I want him to get a season of being showered with praise and adoration. I want to go sit in Gordo Nation one time for my man Alex. I want them to give us Thanks for the Memory Alex t-shirts. I want it to be the summer of celebrating Alex Gordon. I don't want him to then take a one-year deal next year with the Baltimore Orioles to go play with Alcides Escobar. That's not what I want. I'm telling you.
Esky ain't going to be there, but that's fine.
I'm telling you, Alex, announce that you're retiring at the beginning of the season, and we can. And this year's Royal season can be as much about Adalberto Mondesi and Jorge Soler and building to the future as it can be about paying proper respect to the career that Alex Gordon has had in Kansas City. That's what I would tell Alex Gordon.
You think that's going to work, huh? See, here's the problem. Because baseball is 162 games over the course of the season. And if he announces at the beginning of the year, he's done at the end of the season. And Alex Gordon comes out and he looks the way that he has the last couple of years. You think people are really still going to be celebrating him at the middle of the season? I think it's going to be one of those things where, like, the first couple of weeks, it's cool. And then you're remembering the fact that the baseball season is really long. There are 162 games that you have to appreciate Alex Gordon. And then it becomes really cool again in the last couple of weeks. So what I think Alex Gordon should do, instead of doing it at the beginning of the year, the last month, in September.
Like the All-Star break, you're
saying. Yeah, in September announce. Like, give us a month of it where the season's already – we kind of know how the season's going to go. It ain't going to be great for the Royals. And so at the end, give us a little something to be excited about. Hey, I'm going to go to the ballpark one more time to be able to watch Alex Gordon while he's in left field for my Royals.
Well, you know what's going to happen during that time frame? Football's going to be here, and we're not going to give the proper respect. That's why in my scenario – if I'm Alex Gordon and I kind of feel like this is it and this is the end, I go to Ned and I say this is the final year. And then you and the marketing department can put something together that we could have some cool days in the summer.
It sounds cool. So I like the idea.
BK, you're telling me July 1st, if they're doing the home run bobblehead, game one home run, and it's a bobblehead with the one finger up and he's riding the bases, Kauffman sold out that day. It's sold out that day. You're telling me if they do a Gordon home run t-shirt, if they do a Gordon great catch, if they do all the different things.
You I think people create, get annoyed with it.
You can create some really cool days because, let's be honest, there ain't a whole lot to be super excited about this baseball season. You're maybe really excited at the beginning where they're going to realize, oh, this team's not that good, and then we're going to not pay attention. But the Gordon would give you – I'm not saying they got to do it every homestand – but once a month, they can have a Gordon-specific promotion, a Gordon-specific giveaway for us to celebrate the career of Alex Gordon.
I like the idea in theory more than I think I would like it in practice, because I think stuff like that gets old pretty quickly if the guy's not living up to the contract again. Like, if Alex Gordon isn't good this year, if he has another year similar to what he's done the last couple of seasons, I think very quickly – it would go into, oh, thank God this is the last year of Alex Gordon, as opposed to celebrating what Alex Gordon was over the course of his career in Kansas City. He's one of the all-time greats here in Kansas City, helped bring a World Series to Kansas City. I think it would go south relatively quickly if they decided to do this at the beginning of the season. I think the timing is really important about that announcement.
I haven't blocked anybody in a really long time on the text line. I remember I blocked someone because they said that Coming to America wasn't very funny. And if you have that opinion, you don't deserve the privilege of texting the show. I don't block people for a lot of things. You got to say something racist. You got to be homophobic. You got to keep cursing. And then I tell you, hey, stop. You don't got to keep saying that word to me. Just stop. And then if you keep going, I feel like at that point I have the right to go ahead and block you. But I try not to do it very often. I might block this person. Text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line. I don't even want to attach their brand to how silly this text is. Alex Gordon hit one home run in one game of a seven-game series. Let him die let him fade into the distance and become a memory.
That's a bad take.
He hit one home run in one game of a seven-game series. What are you talking about?
Home run.
You clearly just started watching the Royals in 2015. You didn't watch the Royals before then. If that's all you think that Alex Gordon has done in his baseball career is he hit one home
run
in game one.
We celebrate Christian Colon for what he did. He had one hit in one wild card game of the 2014 playoffs. Alex Gordon had the home run of the game of the World Series.
And he says of a seven-game series, like it wasn't the World Series, like it wasn't the final series. Like, what? That doesn't even make sense. Someone says this fan base will vilify Gordon if we don't win. They're not going to vilify him if he tells us this is the end. If Gordon has a press conference the second game of the season and says, you know what, I still really enjoy playing baseball, but I'm not playing it at the level in which I feel comfortable with. I want to end my career as a Kansas City Royal. This is my final season. Gordon will remove any criticism he faces the entire season if that happens.
See, I don't think he will. I think you get to mid-July and the Royals are, whatever, 20 and 45, and people are talking about, hey, you know what, it's time to take Gordo out. He's already said this is his last year. I think instead of watching him play every day, it's time to go with Bonifacio out there. It's time to see what Bubba Starling can give you in left field this year. It's time to see what some of these kids can give you as opposed to Alex Gordon when you know you're moving on from him. So I think the timing is what is really important here, CDOT. And I think I like the idea of having the Gordo send-off. I just don't think it can start until after the All-Star game. I think you wait.
Text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line. This is clearly just trash take day on the drive, which I appreciate because I have my fair share. Alex Gordon has been always trash hitting the baseball.
What?
I've never gotten
the hype.
What
are we doing here?
Are we just going to act like we don't remember when Alex Gordon was great?
He had like a 10-year career that was really impressive.
You're going to tell me Alex Gordon's always been trash hitting the baseball. Like in 2011, he didn't hit over 300 with over 20 home runs and over 80 RBIs. We're going to make it seem like that didn't happen? We're going to make it seem like in 2012 he didn't hit 290 with 15 home runs and 72 RBIs? That's how we're going to act? We're going to act like Alex Gordon isn't one of the five greatest defensive players we've seen in baseball the last 10 years? That's how we're going to act? Like Alex Gordon wasn't that player? Now, I understand being frustrated with the contract, and I understand that the contract didn't turn out. But let's not for a second diminish when Alex Gordon was at the height of his powers, when he was at his peak, the kind of baseball player that he was, and that's why I want to give him the proper send-off. Dirk's not good right now. Dirk's playing 12 minutes.
Basketball's different, man. You can do a substitution pattern with basketball. With the MLB, Gordo's going to be out there every day, at least to start the year, and there's going to come a point in time, I don't know when this date is, but I would imagine it's sometime right before the All-Star break, where fans are going to say, it's time to see what the young guys are able to do. It's time to see if Bubba Starling can give you anything in the outfield. It's time to see if Bonifacio is a part of your future in the outfield. It's time to see if Jorge Soler can play the outfield at this point in time, or is he just a career DH guy? That's going to come at some point. And those at-bats are going to come at the expense of Alex Gordon, number one.
Text line 69306, and I swear that I might be done with the text line, maybe for the rest of the week. The proper send-off for Alex Gordon is to the trash can. What we're not going to do is disrespect Alex Gordon on this show. That's not what I'm here for. That's not the kind of energy that I think the career of Alex Gordon deserves. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into the NCAA tournament. But first, scores!
Your scores on the 10s update right now. Michigan State is leading Bradley in the 2:15 matchup. There's about 11:35 to go in the second half in this one. Michigan State is up 50-48. We've tipped off in the second half between Maryland and Belmont. Maryland, the sixth seed in this one, has regained the lead. They are up 44-10. They've gotten off to a huge start here in the second half. 10-0 run for Maryland. They lead 44-40. Coming up here in just about 15 minutes, we're going to see the start of the Murray State versus Marquette game. Keep it locked right here on 610 Sports Radio for all of your updates throughout the day.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will all take a minute. As Give Us a Minute is presented by Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beers. We normally do it at 2:45, had to push it to 3:45 because we wanted to give you guys the Auburn game early in the day, and we'll do the pop quiz presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Just because we're here at winning streaks don't mean you can't win yourself. We'll do that coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Visit Harrah's North Kansas City Fridays and Saturdays, March 8th through 30th, and take your shot at winning a share of up to $140,000 in free play. Winners drawn every 15 minutes, starting at 5 p.m. through 10 p.m. See Caesars Rewards for complete rules. Harrah's sits just 10 minutes from downtown Kansas City. Watch all the games at Winning Streaks, the largest sports bar in North Kansas City. Eat, drink, and cheer while watching games on over 40 big screen TVs.
Must be 21 or older to gamble and have a Caesars Rewards card. No one to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF.
Do you want another truck or a truck like no other? How about deals on that truck during Ram Truck Month? A truck with an available touchscreen that stretches an entire foot. A truck that has capabilities that don't exist in any other truck in its class, like available air suspension. Heck, Motor Trend's 2019 Truck of the Year truck. Do you want a truck that's not only about towing and hauling and payload capability, but a truck that stretches every ability? It's the all-new Ram 1500. Come in now during Ram Truck Month for deals like no other. Now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Express Quad Cab 4x4 for $263 a month for 36 months with $1,999 due at signing. Tax, title, license, extra. Class-based on light-duty pickups. Call 1-877-RAM-5722 for details. Requires dealer contribution at least the Chrysler Capital. Current lease must end by 3/31/20. 25-cent charge for each mile over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 4/1/19.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, we know you're excited to get outside when spring arrives. So are we. Head to your Academy store today to find the gear you'll need for all the activities you love. From hunting and fishing, to hiking and camping, to sports and fitness, we've got more gear than anyone else at prices like no one else. Guaranteed. Visit Academy.com today to find the store nearest you. Shop Academy Sports and Outdoors and get ready to have fun out there this spring.
Mercedes-Benz is an official sponsor of Radio.com Sports. All month long, hear Radio.com Sports insider analysis around spring training, the college tournament, football free agency, and everything in between. Plus, you'll always get the latest developments from the entire sports world with Radio.com Sports breaking news. All brought to you by Mercedes-Benz and the all-new 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class sedan. All new thinking for an all-new class of Mercedes. Proud partner of Radio.com. Sports.
100,000 fans are on their feet. A hush falls over the stadium in the waning seconds of the game. Amidst the silence, you think to yourself, there's only one play to call here. To run straight to your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer and test drive the all-new 2019 A-Class sedan. Harnessing the first era of the Mercedes-Benz user experience, it seamlessly connects you and your car with natural voice recognition. The Mercedes-Benz A-Class sedan, where the future takes the field. Visit mbusa.com/A-Class to learn more. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Get off my bumper. Traffic from Santa Fe Tow Service, the right choice.
This report sponsored by Z-Quil Pure Z's. One accident working out there, westbound I-70. Coming up on Van Brunt, looks like they're getting that one moved off to the exit lane, though. Not going to see any problem there. Eastbound I-70 looking good. Getting out of downtown, 17-minute ride out to Blue Springs. Westbound 70, leaving downtown. Going to the Kansas side, you'll be at the Legends in about 15 minutes. Now we have a stall, southbound 435, right about Gregory. Looks like that one is stuck right there in that left-hand lane, but not seeing any slowdown yet. Northbound 35 still slow to recover from the road crews that left a few minutes ago. You're heavy at the Overland Parkway. Worried about another sleepless night? Instead, try new Z-Quil Pure Z's melatonin gummies. Z-Quil Pure Z's are drug-free. They help you fall asleep naturally and wake up with no next-day grogginess. New Z-Quil Pure Z's. I'm Jay Edwards. 610 Sports Radio. Get off my bumper traffic.
Let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Text line 69306. Alex Gordon was a great defensive player, but let's not act like he was some stud with the bats. Another texter. Alex Gordon's stats are only impressive to Kansas City. Those stats you just listed are not as great for a majority of ball clubs. This city has always been impressed with mediocrity, just like when we thought Trent Green was great. What is happening here? How has the show evolved into me being the defender of Alex Gordon? I'm not sitting here telling you that he's Mike Trout. I'm telling you, in the history of Royals baseball, he's one of the 15 best players I've ever had. I'm shocked that this is so polarizing on the text line. I'm stunned this is the case.
He had stunned a five-year span from 2011 to 2015. These are only his offensive stats, where he hit 281, 359, 450 with an average of 18 homers and 35 doubles per year. That's an all-star every year. That's an all-star type of performance, and that was his average over a five-year period. Alex Gordon was really good. Not great, really good at the plate over the course of about 5 or 6 years of his MLB career.
I mean, during his career, he was one of the 10 best outfielders in the game. He was one of the 10 best outfielders in baseball. What are we talking about here? I'm not saying he's great today. I'm saying is he should be celebrated for the end of his career. I'm really surprised.
Six-time Gold Glover, three-time All-Star, a really, really good Major League Baseball player.
The text line, and I think maybe this is just a people thing and not just a text line thing. I think that sometimes we are unable to remove ourselves from the disappointment of when things are currently going on to see the bigger picture. Like, I understand why you'd be really frustrated with what happened with Eric Berry at the end of his career. But I also think you should have the perspective to see what he meant to Kansas City and the kind of player that he was. I understand the frustration of the contract. I'm all – I'm right there with you. We talk about the contract. But not for a second have I ever tried to diminish what Alex Gordon means to Kansas City, how great of a player he was, and when his time is over, the appreciation that will certainly be shown towards Alex Gordon. Before we get to Give Us a Minute, we've got scores.
Scores on the tens update for you guys. Michigan State now trailing once again to number the 15-seeded Bradley. Bradley up 53-52, about 8.5 minutes to go in that one. We will keep you updated with that score for sure. Maryland has continued to maintain the lead against Belmont. Maryland up 48-45. There's about 16 minutes to play in the second half for that one. And coming up here in just about 5 minutes, Marquette versus Murray State will tip off. That is one of the marquee matchups of the day. We will continue updating you with that. With scores on the tens.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into the Tyreek Hill situation. But now it's time for Give Us a Minute, presented by Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beers. Hit it, Nick. So, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but one of my favorite players is retiring. I was a big fan of Ichiro Suzuki. I remember playing with him back on Triple Play Baseball 2001. Ichiro was really cool. He got the proper send-off today. Now, he went out there and went 0 for 4 today. But just the fact of, he got to... he has 3,000 hits. We got to see him do it. I've just always appreciated Ichiro's game, and I've always loved the fact that he's always shown a lot of love to the Negro League Baseball Museum, and still on record, he's given the biggest player donation anyone has ever given to the Negro League Baseball Museum. So congratulations to Ichiro. You're done with your Major League Baseball career. You're done with your baseball career. Next stop is Cooperstown. Congratulations to Ichiro Suzuki.
I think there's a case to be made, CDOT, that in terms of the overall impact for what Ichiro did in the MLB, there's some similarities to what Dirk has done in the NBA, and that Ichiro was the first real superstar to come to America from Asia, whether it was Japan or Korea. And now we're starting to see that more and more often. And right after him, there was kind of an influx of guys coming over. I think the legacy of Ichiro is something that's really interesting for the MLB.
I also remember Ichiro used to absolutely destroy the Kansas City Royals. Like, you talk about Royals killers. Like, if we had to make a baseball team of guys that used to destroy the Royals, Ichiro is at the top and Torii Hunter. Remember Torii Hunter? Who's that one kid from Chicago? Last year that just hit all those home runs against the Royals. He had like 7 home runs and 5 of them were against the Royals. I can't remember his name on the top of my head. Text line will help me. It was one guy for the White Sox last year that absolutely used to destroy the Royals. Ichiro might be the biggest Royal killer, though.
I just remember, what was it, Dent? Who was the pitcher for the White Sox for a few years that just every time he was on the mound, you knew it was going to be zeros for the Royals. Every single time. I'll take my minute for today, Nick. For my minute today, CDOT, we're not going to see this guy very often or very much because he's going to lose in the first round. But Abilene Christian University's coach Joe Golding is already the star of the NCAA tournament because of what happened to him and his team's championship game after they clinched their first ever NCAA tournament appearance. Listen to this. This is what he had to say about his pants getting ripped in his team's conference title game.
It has not been easy. It's been the hardest thing we've ever done, and it was an incredible embrace that we had the last 8 seconds. Unfortunately, I ripped my pants. So I get back to Abilene. I haven't got my bonus yet either. I just found out I don't get that till June 1st, I think. So I heard somebody's going to start a GoFundMe page. I'd appreciate it, you know, any help I can get. But I went. We got one suit place in town. That's it. One suit place, and they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it done. I guess you got to alter and do some stuff. So I got one suit, my man. I had two suits when the year started. I left one in the airport. True story. Had to go to when we played Nicholls State and buy a suit or khaki pants and a shirt. I'm coaching tomorrow in my baby blue suit, and I'm gonna have a hole in my butt, man.
So Joe Golding today is going to be coaching Abilene Christian against Kentucky in Jacksonville. A game that he could have had a new suit for if he just wanted to, you know, accept one of the other donations. Nope, he's going to be doing it with the suit that got ripped in his team's conference title game. That is my minute for today.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to the pop quiz. But, Nick, go ahead, take your minute, man.
All right, guys, so I don't know if you've seen this going around the internet, but we've got the Florida Man Challenge is the newest challenge where basically you Google Florida Man and then your birthday. So mine, November 7th, I've got Florida Man climbs building, dives into pond, wrestles with crocodile. And CDOT, I looked yours up. You got two good ones. August 20th, Florida man accused of biting two toddlers dozens of times. And Florida man says his cat downloaded child porn, not him. And then BK, November 9th, Florida man too drunk to be honored by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. So those were pretty crazy. I also found out while doing this Google search that there is a Florida Man Music Festival every year, and I'm going to make sure to stay as far away from that one as possible because it just never works out with these Florida men. They're pretty crazy down there. That's my minute.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into the Tyreek Hill situation. But first, pop quiz.
Stand by, going to air. Five, four, three, two, one.
Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets a KC MVP golf card. The MVP golf card allows you to save big on rounds of golf in the Kansas City metro area. Today's pop quiz is a movie. Nick, take it away.
Sit right here.
Okay. All right, let's go, team. You know, if somebody gets injured, we could see a lot of minutes.
I'm a cheerleader.
Go ahead and be caller number 6 to 913-576-7610 if you know what movie that is. Coming up in just a little bit. BK thinks the Chiefs should have thought big. I'll tell you what we mean coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.